three things that are too amazing for me. In verse 19, it says, the way of an eagle in the sky. The way of an eagle in the sky. I'm telling you that we are going to follow the eagle's footstep. And the Bible says, this is amazing. Why? Because the eagle does not walk. So you cannot follow his footstep. But through the Bible, we are going to learn. And today I'm going to talk about seven things. Mariana, you can come over here. You can help me in my English. When I get stuck, you can help me. Come over. How many think Mariana is a great person? And we're glad to have her in the youth, huh? Very good. So you probably have seen these videos. I went to Bolivia, and we took like 30 videos and tapes, and people just bought them all because this is such a great teaching. I saw this at American Airlines, right? When we had the National Christian Employee Resource Group meeting, where they come from different states, and they asked me to be the speaker, and I spoke about the eagle. Because American Airlines, their emblem is the eagle, too. And the church where I went, guess what? All the people had an eagle and a snake. And the day that I had this message, the day I preached this message, they presented me with an eagle, too, with a nice statue of an eagle. So the preaching fell right on the time. So listen, so the Bible says, there are three things that are too amazing for me, the way of an eagle. What it's saying is the passage, this passage actually is saying there is something wonderful, and it's the eagle's lifestyle. Can you say there is something wonderful, and it's the eagle's lifestyle? All right. Do me a favor. Can you turn those off, please? We don't need them today. Thank you. So why? Why do you think that most pictures, when you go to a VIP, when you go to see a great leader, when you enter into a great man's office, more likely you will see an eagle. Go to the mayor of Hialeah or the mayor of Medley, you walk into their office, chances are you will see an eagle. Go to the armed forces and see the emblem of the U.S. Navy, Marines, what else? Demolition team, scuba diving guys, what's their name? Navy SEALs is the eagle with the world. The Marines, the eagle. The U.S. Force, the eagle. They're all represented by the eagle. Even the tattoos, see people's tattoos, a lot of them are eagles. So people are crazy just by looking at the eagle, and they haven't even learned about all the revelation that the Bible has. And the Bible is telling us, hey, go and learn the eagle's lifestyle, because the eagle has a lot to teach us, because God made it that way. First of all, the eagle is the bird that flies the highest. How many of you want to fly high in your life? How many of you are thinking, I'm going to soar? I was not born to be a chicken to be eating out of the scratch. I'm not a snake. I'm not a worm. I feel inside of me that the Lord brought me to this day and age so I can fly high. This is you. Raise your hand and pay attention to what I'm going to teach today. Amen? Did you know that in 1794, Elder Statesman Benjamin Franklin, he was against the eagle to become the national bird. He registered his own trademark saying the turkey is a better and more respectable bird than the eagle because the turkey is natural to the United States. Thank God George Washington, when he became president, he named the eagle the national bird. Otherwise, on the great seal of the White House, there will be an eagle. Gobble, 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 gobble. So we were so close to having a turkey instead of an eagle in the United States. You know, did you guys know that? That's what we have to, you know, be up. That's what we have to make an impact in the world because we can change things around. So we're going to see some characteristics of the eagle. Number one, focus, say vision, say purpose-driven, say focus. If somebody's hearing this podcast, if somebody's hearing this tape and you don't hear anything, it's because people here are weakling. They don't talk. They're weak. They don't know how to speak up. All right? So for the record, say vision.
Vision.
Purpose-driven.
Purpose-driven.
It always works. Very good. Much better. See, what can you, let me ask a question. What can you see in the future for you? Number one, where do you see yourself in the future? Because that's exactly where you're going to end up. If you don't see yourself anywhere in the future, that's because you ain't going there. Yeah. So you have to dream, you have to fly, you have to make plans for your life. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Because it's not going to happen. Imagine a ship leaving port with no place to go, no destination. Imagine a plane leaving the airport with no flight plan, just wandering around. Run out of gas, crash. So there are a lot of people living their lives like that. And you know what they become? They become followers, not leaders. And the eagle represents leadership. Say, the eagle represents leadership. And I'm an eagle. Are you a leader? All right, good. So where do you see 10 years from now? Where do you see 5 years from now? You won't get there just by chance. You have to focus. This is what I want to do in life. This is where I want to get in life. And then you start doing away with all the distraction. Because if you don't focus, if you don't concentrate, you're going to end up anywhere. Anywhere where the wind blows, you're going to end up there. If you don't focus, you're going to end up pregnant with flip-flops, with 10 kids. Yeah. Yeah, if you don't focus, you're going to have a kingdom job. You're going to work at Burger King all your life. You have to focus where you want to go. So that's one of the great characteristics of the eagle. The eagle has the ability to focus. They can spot a rabbit 2 miles up ahead, and they just focus on it. They single out a prey. That's why they're so effective. You're going to watch some videos, and you'll be surprised how they focus. And when they focus, that's where they go. So today, the first thing you need to learn is you got to focus in life. What do you want? If you don't aim at something, you're never going to hit it, right? Right? It's like a single woman. If she doesn't aim that kind of man she's looking for, she'll never find it. Marinela, you have to aim at it. How many of you own a car over here? All right. I don't know if it happens to you, but it will. Let's say you're looking for a car. You like a Toyota Corolla, let's say 2005. And that's the car you like. Once you start asking prices, once you start looking, checking it out, driving it, you're going to see hundreds of Toyota Corollas all over the world, all over the streets. Before, you never saw them. But now that you're looking for them, you're going to see them all over. That's what happens when you focus. You're going to start identifying things that you didn't see before. So the Bible says in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, I'll read it to you. It says, "You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carry you on eagle's wing and brought you to myself." God is saying to the people of Israel, you know what I did to Egypt. Do you guys know what he did to Egypt, to the Egyptians? Destroyed them, right? Destroyed the army, destroyed the economy, destroyed everything, right? And he says, "And I took you on wings of eagle and brought you to me." How many of you are saved over here? Raise your hand if you're saved. Okay, that means that you didn't do anything to be saved. God did it for you. He took you out of Egypt. Egypt represents the world. See, in the Old Testament, everything was physical. People were killing. The people of Israel were fighting the Philistines. And everything was physical. Everything you can see, you can touch. Now everything is spiritual. We have warfare, but we don't see it. It's in the spiritual realm. So the Old Testament were shadows of things to come. Are you with me? So Egypt represents when we were in bondage. Even you might be safe, but if you're in bondage, you know, if you have a vice and if you are doing something wrong that you cannot stop doing it, and if you're practicing sin, that means that you're still in Egypt. Maybe you left Egypt physically, but Egypt is still inside of you, and you will not enter the promised land. Are you with me? So the reason why God created you in his own image and likeness is to have fellowship with you. He saved you. God rescued you. He redeemed you. Redeem is to purchase back again. Do you know what redeem means? Let me give you an example so you will understand. There was this little boy who had a wonderful aircraft, a little wooden airplane that his grandfather made for him, and he loved it. And he used to go after school. And, you know, that was 50, 60 years ago where we didn't have all this technology. And he would get this nice little plane, miniature plane, and he would go out to the hills and play with it every day. And he felt like he was a pilot, right? One day, he misplaced it, and he left it behind, and he ran home. And when he realized it, he came back to the place where he was playing. Guess what? It was gone. Somebody stole it. And he was crying for his little aircraft. And he was crying. His grandpa had died. He could not get another one done. And also, he remembered the love that his grandpa had for him. Guess what? One Sunday morning when he was walking, he saw his own very airplane being displayed on a window. Somebody has found it. Somebody sold it to the used toy store, and it was for sale. And they were asking $25 because it was very nice. So this little kid had to work 3 months washing the neighbor's dog, walking the neighbor's dog, mowing the lawn, doing car wash. He raised the money and he purchased that airplane again. What did he do? He redeemed the airplane again. He purchased it. It was him to begin with. He lost it. And then he had to purchase it again. Guess what? He redeemed the airplane. Now it was precious to him. You know, he loved it more than before because he lost it once. Same thing happened with us. We were in the world. We were lost. Jesus died for us. He purchased us back. And he loved us. And he doesn't want to lose us again. He doesn't want to lose us again. So he created us to his own image and likeness so he can have fellowship with us. So you were created to have fellowship with God. You were created to be God's friend. That's why inside of you there is a spirit. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. You know that from inside, he or she doesn't look nothing like the way they look from outside. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about it? The spirit that is inside of you is not the same as your physical body. Inside of you, there is greatness. There is seed of greatness. Because that spirit that is inside of you were not created by mom and dad. That spirit that is inside of you was created by God. So that's why he loved you. That's why there's so much value in you. That's why he died for us. Not for the outside. Trust me, this goes right to the ground where it came from. When you die, probably you'll probably get cremated. They'll not ship you back to Cuba. It's too expensive, you know. They'll probably cremate you, and all there's going to be is like 6 ounces of dust, ashes. That's all. That's all this is worth. Trust me on this one. So what's really important is what's inside of us. And we are spiritual beings. That's why we have communion with God. Inside of you, there's a spirit that wants that Holy Spirit comes to live inside your spirit. It's like your car, when you turn on the ignition, the electricity goes on, and all of a sudden it comes alive. That's what happened. People who does not have the Holy Spirit, they don't understand why you are here listening to me. They don't understand why you come here and worship something that you don't see. Nevertheless, you feel it. They don't feel it because the Holy Spirit does not live inside of them, but you do feel it. When you do something bad, the Spirit gets, you know, upset, contrite, you know, you feel bad about it because you have the Holy Spirit living with you. So number one, you were created to have fellowship with Him. Are you here with me? That's why He saved you. That's why He rescued you. That's why He sent His Son to die for you. Did you know that? That means if we're not having fellowship with Him, if we're not becoming God's friend, then you are missing the point. Then you don't know why you were created. Then your life has no purpose and no meaning. And I'm going to stop right here. And I want you to meditate about it. Because once you start praying, once you start talking to God, once you start reading the Bible, you know, once you start praying, you know what's going to happen? Your life is going to have a meaning. You were created on God's own likeness. You know why? You know why? Let me tell you why. Because He wants to talk to you every day. He is your spiritual father. And a lot of you don't hear from God. And that's a shame because you were made to hear from Him. You were made to talk to Him. That's why we do our devotionals, to teach you, to train you how to hear God's voice. Because if you don't read the Bible, you're not going to distinguish which voice is talking to you. Could be your own conscience, Jiminy the Cricket talking to you and you think it's the Holy Spirit. It could be the enemy. I don't know how the devil does it, but he managed to talk to us through our brain, through our spiritual being, through our ears. I mean, there has to be a frequency in the invisible world where we hear God's voice. We hear our own voice, and we hear the enemy's voice. I mean, they tapped into that frequency, you know, and we can hear them in our conscience. So if you don't read the Bible, you don't want to know who's talking. Because once you know God's nature, you're going to say, that's not the voice of my Father. My Father does not want me to do that. That is selfish. That is sin. Sin will lead me to death. Sooner or later, sin will lead you to death. First, it will lead you to infirmity, to sickness, and at the end, it will lead you to death. Might not be physical death, but it might be spiritual death, death of your dreams, of your desires, you know, plans that the Lord has for you. They could die if we live in sin. So God created you in His image so you can reflect His personalities, so He can reflect His personalities and characters through you. Do you know that God wants to reflect His personality and His characters through you, and through you, and through you, and through you, and through you, through all of us? We're like a mirror, and we have to reflect God's character and personality the way He is. Why? Why do you think He wants us to represent Him? Why? Anybody? It's a question. Ivana, what do you think he has chosen you to so you can represent his personalities and his character? Any idea? So others that don't know God can know God through you. So that will put us on this path. People are looking at us, see if we represent God's image, likeness, character. We should be able not only to say, because it's easy to say, but to show the world through our actions how God is. How will God behave in this situation? Remember when we had a wristband that says, what will Jesus do? Remember, for a long time we were wearing them. What will Jesus do? That's what the world wants to know. If somebody scream at you, how will Jesus react? If somebody offends you, how will Jesus react? If you're being tempted, how will Jesus react? That's all there is to. That's all there is to. That's what you have to be infilled with the Holy Spirit to be able to resist the devil, just like Jesus did in the desert, right? So, what is the other meaning of our life? Why are we here? What is the purpose he created us? What is the purpose he saved us? He says, I brought you from Egypt in wings like an eagle, and I brought you to me. Number one, to have fellowship. If you don't pray, you don't have fellowship, you don't talk to God, that means your life is useless to him. I mean, he created you, he saved you for what? For nothing. He wants to talk to you every day. He wants to let you know what his plans are for your life. He wants to use you. He says, I want you to represent me. I want you to represent my character. I want you to tell the world that I'm love. I'm not religion. I'm not hate. You know, I'm not gossiping, and I'm not condemning people. I didn't come to condemn, said Jesus. I came to save. You know what I'm saying? So if you're thinking in your mind, my God, I got to change, the answer is yes, we got to change. Why do you think more people don't want to come to Christ? Unfortunately, it's because of us. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. There's nothing. They love the gospel. They love Jesus. They love the teachings. They love the apostles. They love the Bible history. They like it. They like our music. They like our worship. They like when we help the poor. Let me ask you a question. Really think about it. Really think about it. And I'm going to go to point number two. I'm going to stay on this one so, you know, we learn from it. My job is not just to preach, but to turn your heart. If I'm not able to turn your heart, I cannot transform your mind. Did you know that? So my kind of teaching has to be able to turn your heart, so it will transform your mind and you will change the way you think, because you are what you think. You become your thoughts. So listen to this. It's very important. We need to change. We need to change our behavior. We need to change how we communicate. We need to change how we talk. Every time you're going to do something, you have to think, you have to meditate, and you have to ask this question: am I reflecting God's character? What's character? Behavior. Comportamiento, the way you behave, the way you carry out. Because you are a Christian, a little Christ. And you have to represent what Christ is all about. Are you here? Are we here? That's the reason why we were created. And we also were created to share his government. The moment that Jesus says, let us make men to our own image, according to our own likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the earth, etc., etc. The moment that the Lord says, let them have dominion, he has delegated us dominion and authority. We lost it because of Adam and Eve's sin, but now we recuperate it because Jesus came and he took the power from the enemy. He took the power from the devil. He had all the power because of the sin of humankind, but Jesus redeemed you. Remember, he purchased us back, and he gave us, you know, before he ascended, he was ascended unto heaven, and he says, here, I don't need this power over there because there are no devils in heaven. I will give you all power. I'll give you all power to you, to the church. Why? Because Jesus, God is love, and when you love somebody, you share. God is love, and he says, I want to share my power, my government with mankind. He basically is telling us, hey, let's make a deal. I'll rule in the invisible places, and you rule in the natural places. Let's make a deal. You take care of the things that you can see, and I'll take care of the things you don't see. That's why our prayer are so important, because God will not do anything unless we ask for it. Your prayers are like earthly license for heavenly intervention. You need to pray. You need to ask. Hey, God, let's do this. Let's do that. And said, okay, I'll do that. I'll back you up. Are you here with me? So he created us so he can share his power, so he can share his government. God is love, and he doesn't want to rule alone. Amen? It's just like when you marry somebody, you have to share with that person everything that is yours. Do you know there are couples out there that they have their own banking account separated? Yeah, parents, this is my money, you cannot touch it. This is my car, you cannot drive it. That is not love. Is it love? No, that is not love. So that's when I counsel people before they get married, I told them, look, everything has to be in one account. You have to share everything. You know, I have a 2008 Mercedes van, and I even let Josefa, the babysitter, drives it. I pray a lot. And it's only in emergencies where there are no cars that you have to take the kids to school, you know. But, it's an automobile. It's a car. It's not, you know. And then my wife, she drives my car. Even Carolina drives my car. And she's learning. So, you know what I'm saying? Because you love something, you share it. Are you here with me? So that's why God created us, to have fellowship with him, so we can reflect his character and personalities, to share his government. Are we learning something today? And number two, step to number two, the eagle is driven by the wind. A lot of birds, they flap a lot, chicken, you know. Blackbirds, they're flapping. If you see an eagle, what they do is they wait for what is called thermal winds. You know, it's winds that they just come and pick them up. They're full of hot air, like what makes the hot air balloon go up. So he just spread his wings, and he comes with thermal wings, and it just takes him out to soar. So he knows how to fly without flapping, without getting tired. So how can I apply number two in my life? The eagle is driven by the wind. Number one, you have to know what you're good at it. You have to know what skills you possess. What do you do with, you know, greatness, and you do it easily. You don't have to strengthen yourself. You don't have to overstudy, overemphasize. It's your call, it's your nature, it's your gift. You're good at it. People say, wow, man, you're good at painting. You're good at drawing. Man, you're good at playing an instrument. You're good at singing. You're good at service. I mean, you're such a servant. Nobody has to tell you. You have initiative. You know, you're good to learn this thing. You're good to pick up the other. You have